Thank you, Bill. Now, will you please open your Bibles? Can we open our Bibles together? You can follow along behind me to John chapter 14, starting in verse 1, 1 through 11. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
How many of you that are here this morning, within the past year, we'll make it a year. How many of you that are here this morning within the past year have opened a magazine, read a newspaper, watched television, or listened to anything on the radio? I figured that would include everybody. And I'm sure you do that almost every day. And the point is that if you've done that, you should be aware of the type of culture that we live in as Christians here in America. We live in a culture where 65% of all Americans believe that all religions are equally valid. In other words, as long as you believe in something, that's okay. It doesn't particularly matter what it is you believe or believe in. As long as you believe in something, that's really what matters. And eventually, whatever it is you happen to believe in will get us all to the same place. We live in a culture where 65% of American teenagers, our youth, say that what is moral or right for me is not necessarily moral or right for you, but instead morality is based on feeling. They are, in essence, saying that there are no absolutes. We live in a culture where there are no absolutes. And by absolutes, I mean things that are unconditional, that are not open to interpretation, that are not open to change. We live in a culture that behaves as if there are no absolutes. I hope you understand, then, that as Christians, our lives should stand in direct contrast to the culture that we live in. And don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we should be apart from the world. But as we are in the world, the lives that we lead should stand in direct contrast to that world, to that culture. Christianity is deemed as unaccepting, as intolerant. You can see the contrast that should exist between Christians and between our culture. But does it? Do our lives contrast that sharply with our culture? There was a study done a couple of years ago where a group wanted to determine or to evaluate the behavior patterns of Christians and non-Christians. And so what they did was over a period of a couple of weeks, they monitored everyday behaviors and they looked at responses to certain situations. And what they concluded was this, that there is no difference in the behaviors of Christians compared to non-Christians. See, unfortunately, many, many times we behave as Christians. Our lives do not reflect the absolutes that we profess to be true. Our lives do not stand in a sharp contrast to the culture that we live in as they should. I'm here to remind you of something this morning, and that is that there are absolutes. There are unconditional truths. There are absolutes, and Jesus Christ is the basis for those absolutes. In the scripture that was just read to you this morning, Jesus makes a very profound statement about himself. Jesus says to Thomas, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Please don't miss how profound that statement is. Jesus is declaring not only that there are absolutes, but he is establishing himself as the basis for those absolutes. Jesus Christ is the basis for absolutes. Now, typically, this statement that Jesus made, you'll hear it directed towards those who do not profess to be Christians, and rightly so. So if you're sitting here today and you have never professed Jesus Christ as Savior, if you have never recognized that there are absolutes and that you need Jesus Christ, this passage and this message are for you. If you're sitting here and you're saying to yourself, well, I have prayed to receive Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, which I suspect the majority of you are. You're not off the hook because guess what? This passage and this message are also for you and for me. You see, I want to challenge you today, as God has challenged me this week, to evaluate my life. And I want to challenge you to evaluate your lives and ask yourselves the question, does my life reflect the fact that there are absolutes based on Jesus Christ? If someone were to look at me and evaluate my behavior versus that of a non-Christian, does my life reflect the fact that there are absolutes? Does my life stand in contrast to the culture that I live in? Let me start by putting this in some context. Jesus and the disciples have either just left the upper room or are in the process of leaving the upper room. Jesus is ultimately going to the Garden of Gethsemane and then, of course, on to the cross. So Jesus, obviously, is fully aware of where he's going and what's about to happen. The disciples don't have a grasp on what's going on. And Jesus starts out in this particular passage that we read. He starts out with what, in essence, are words of comfort to the disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's going to be okay. And then he goes on to tell them, I have to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to take you to be there with me. And then he concludes that part of the statement with something very interesting. He says, and you know the way to where I'm going. Now, I'm not sure how many of you fall into this category, but when somebody is talking to me and they're way over my head and I have no idea what they're talking about, I have a tendency to just kind of politely nod my head and agree with them. Give you something to think about next time I nod my head to you. Thomas is not one of those people. Thomas speaks up, and he's probably speaking for all of the disciples who probably were nodding their heads. And Thomas says, Lord, first of all, we don't even know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how in the world can we know the way? And that sets the stage for Jesus' response, which is a profound, profound statement. Jesus responds to Thomas by saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. A three-part statement that you really can't separate those individually. You can't have one without the other. But I believe we can use that statement, or that the three parts of that statement, as the basis for looking in the mirror. We can use that as the basis for evaluating our lives and taking stock of ourselves. And again, God has challenged me to do that this week, and I challenge you to do the same thing with what Jesus has said about himself here. Let's take each of those three parts. Jesus says, first of all, I am the way. Thomas says, I don't know where you're going, so how can I possibly know the way? Notice Jesus doesn't respond by saying, well, this is where I'm going. He responds by saying, I am the way. Now, it's very instructive, first of all, to understand what Jesus did not say here. He did not say, I am a way, did he? Our culture doesn't like that. Our culture would call that intolerant. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, oh, I know the way. And he didn't say, I'll show you the way. He said, I am the way. I am literally the way. What Jesus is saying to us, of course, and what Scripture tells us is that apart from Jesus Christ, there's no way to the Father. That the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father, is through faith in Jesus Christ and following Him day by day as the way. The best analogy that I can come up with in kind of the material sense is the story of the missionary who was completing his work in a village. And it was time for him to go on to another village. And the only way to get there was through the jungle. So he was assigned a guide, and pretty quickly into their journey, the way, the pathway, the trail disappears. The missionary's question is, where is the path? Where is the way? And the guide's response is this, I'm the way. And literally, the missionary has to take hold of the guide and physically hold on to him while the guide hacks his way through the jungle. See, Jesus has already made the way, and we have to take hold of Him. We have to follow Him because He is the way. He's not just showing us the way. He is the way. Now, I suspect many of you, most of you, understand that. But please consider the implications of that truth. Again, in contrast to our culture. One implication of that is that not all religions are equally valid, are they? You see, in our society, we have this kind of this picture of God as this grandfather that sits at the top of the mountain, and winding up the sides of the mountain are dozens and dozens of roads. And the roads might take different pathways, but they all get to the same place. They all get to the top where the Father is. Jesus is saying, no, I'm the only way, I'm the only road that gets to the top. All of the others end up somewhere else, but they don't end up at the top. Jesus is saying that unless you worship God and Jesus Christ, all other religions are false. You are worshiping idols. Jesus is implying here that works and religion don't get us there. We hear that a lot, don't we? Works and religion. It doesn't matter how many good things you do. It doesn't matter how religious you are. You can be religious about a lot of things. You can be religious about the way you clean your house. It doesn't get you there to the Father. And finally, another one that would make our culture just shudder. But if there is a final destination where the Father is, if there's a final destination called heaven, there's a final destination called hell. And Scripture tells us that there's only two options. One road gets you to the Father in heaven. All those other roads that go to nowhere, they take you to hell. Our culture would shudder at that. They would label us as intolerant and unaccepting of other viewpoints. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way. By the way, how can he make that statement? How can Jesus make a statement like that? Understand that he can make that statement because if we go to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He can make that statement because he is God. He tells Philip a little bit later on in this passage, he says, have you not seen me and seen the Father? I and the Father are one. Jesus says about himself, he declares himself to be God. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection. We celebrated Easter. We celebrated the fact that Jesus Christ was and is who he said he was. The book of Romans tells us that he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is God, and he can make that statement that he is the way. If you are someone who's sitting here today and you've never recognized that Jesus Christ is the way, if you've never chosen to follow him, please understand that all the other roads get you to nowhere. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. If you're here and you know him as your Savior, you're not off the hook. Because I want to ask you, does your life, if you look in the mirror, does your life, does my life reflect that you are following Jesus as the way? If someone were to evaluate our behavior patterns and compare it to non-Christians, would they conclude that there is a difference? Does our life reflect that we are following the way? The way is not easy. Jesus said to the disciples at one point, he said, enter by the narrow gate. For broad is the path that leads to destruction, but difficult is the way that leads to life. He never said it was going to be easy. Have you gotten on the road somewhere, but fallen off the path? Maybe emotional problems, financial problems, physical problems, whatever. Where are you? Are you following Jesus? Does your life reflect that you're following him as the way? Jesus Christ is the way, and he is also the truth. He is the truth. Let's start with a definition of truth. If you look in the dictionary, you can come up with a number of different definitions. Truth can be actuality. Truth can be reality. But the most applicable one I found is this. Truth is adherence to a standard or to an original. In other words, a standard or original doesn't change. It's not altered. It's not modified in any way. Truth is the adherence to that standard or that original that doesn't fluctuate, that doesn't move in any way, or that is not altered in any way. In the same sense, Jesus is saying to the disciples and is saying to us that he is truth. He's the original. He's the standard. He's the standard on which we make decisions about what is moral and what is immoral. What is right and what is wrong. And that standard doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The psalmist has this to say about truth. Psalm 43, verse 3. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. You see, not only is Jesus the way, but he is also the truth that illuminates, that lights the way to the Father. Does our culture need to know, need to come to grips with the reality that there is truth based on Jesus Christ? One of the saddest passages in Scripture, I think, is in John the 18th chapter, where Jesus is before Pilate. And Jesus says, I was sent into this world that the truth might be revealed. And Pilate, with Jesus standing right there in front of him, says, what is truth? What is truth? The world needs to know what truth is and that there is truth. Let me illustrate this for you. The evangelist, some of you have heard of the evangelist J.P. Moreland. There was a time when Mr. Moreland was witnessing to, as part of Campus Crusade, was witnessing to a young man in his dormitory room. They finally came to the point where the young man said to him, "Look, you cannot tell me what is right or what is wrong, because you see, what you believe to be right or wrong or moral, I may not. Because you see, it's based on how we feel about it, what is right or wrong." Mr. Moreland said, "Okay, I understand." And as he was leaving, he stopped in front of this young man's stereo and unplugged it and proceeded to put the stereo in under his arm and start out the door. Now, of course, this student was upset and he said, "Wait a minute, you can't do that. That's wrong." And Mr. Moreland said, "Well, no, see, understand that I happen to need a stereo and I happen to think that stealing is okay. I don't think it's wrong. I feel that it's okay. So you may feel differently, but I feel that it's okay. Do you see why our society, why our culture must have truth? Why our society must have absolutes on which a standard on which to base decisions? What our society has done is this, if I may borrow an illustration from Pastor Doug. If I were to take this chair and I'm going to say, this chair is now my standard. I'm going to anchor it here to the floor. It's not going to move. It's going to stay there forever. I literally could use this chair as a benchmark or as a gauge to measure any point here in the church, any point in North Huntington, for that matter, any point in the world. I could use this as a reference point in which everything in the world would refer back to. Do you understand that? I could use this as my reference point. In the same way, of course, Jesus Christ and the Word He's given us is the reference point on which we need to come back to. It's the reference point on which we base everything. What is right? What is wrong? What is moral? What is immoral? That is our reference point. But you see, what our world, what our culture has tried to do is this. They've tried to take the chair and act as if it doesn't exist. Amen. Now, as Christians, what have we done? What are we doing? Does our life reflect that there is truth? Unfortunately, maybe we haven't tried to hide it away, but I think what we've tried to do as Christians is this. We've taken that standard, and when it suits us, we've moved it over here. And then when we need it to suit us again, we change our reference point again. You see, instead of going back to that standard, whenever it's suitable to us, maybe we just, you know what, I know what Scripture says, but that's just not quite right. I need, and we move it over here. Do our lives reflect that, or do our lives reflect Jesus Christ as the truth? Because I'm here to tell you that whether we try and hide it and act as if it's not there, or whether we try and move it around, Jesus Christ hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't moved, and the truth is still the truth. That standard is still there. Winston Churchill once said that men occasionally stumble across the truth, but they usually pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and move on as quickly as they can and act like it never happened. If you're a Christian, you have at some point encountered the truth. What have you done with it? Have you picked it? Have you picked yourself up and moved on? Or are you living a life that is based on the truth in Jesus Christ? Finally, Jesus said, "I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." I want you to consider the implications of that statement, last part of the statement. Yes, we know and we typically associate it with the fact that Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's obviously what he's talking about there. But please don't miss some of the other implications. Jesus Christ is the source of life. All life initiates from him. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. The Greek word Logos refers to the Greek's concept of the creative power of the universe, the creative force that brought the universe into being. And John is saying in that statement that it's Jesus Christ who is the Logos. He is the creative force. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Use that to get a grasp on what God's view of life must be and is, as we're told in Scripture, and what our culture's view of life is. We saw what happened this past week in Florida. A human life hung in the balance of the court system. We live in a culture where suicide, where euthanasia, abortion are rampant. Jesus Christ is the source of that life that we're taking away, that our culture says is okay to take away. Jesus Christ is not just the source of life. He is the strength through which we live life day by day. If you've chosen to follow Him as the way, the only way we can do that is through Him. Galatians 2:20, I know many of you are familiar with that verse. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, day by day, moment by moment, He gives us life. He gives us strength to follow Him as the way. And then, of course, He is the source of eternal life. He is eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He is the source of life. He gives us strength for life. He is our life. And He gives us eternal life. If you've never recognized that, you need to come to grips with that today, that Jesus Christ is eternal life. If you have, I'll ask you again, does your life reflect that Jesus Christ is the life? He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Do our lives stand in contrast to our culture? Do our lives reflect that we are following Jesus as the way, that we are looking to Him as truth, we recognize Him as truth, and that we trust Him as the life? In just a minute, Pastor Doug's going to come and he's going to lead us in communion. The Apostle Paul said that when we gather around the communion table, we are to examine ourselves. I encourage you today, as you examine yourself, to ask yourself that question. Where are you? Are you following Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life? Does your life show that? Does it reflect that? Lord Jesus, we praise You and we worship You. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the risen Savior who has made the way to the Father. Lord Jesus, we praise You that we can come and we can gather around the communion table. The Apostle Paul said that we're to examine ourselves and that those who have partaken in an unworthy manner eat and drink condemnation unto themselves. Show us, Holy Spirit, anything that is in our lives that does not reflect our Lord Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Father, in all things, we want to be pleasing to You. And I ask that even in these moments ahead, You would show us anything that we need to deal with, anything that we need to give over to You. And we praise You for it in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.